word. Okay, so today's shiur, we're going to follow the theme of the Shiur Yomi and looking at Ikarim, foundational principles in Judaism, today as it relates to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. And the theme I want to start off with is the idea of bechira, the agency, or what we might call free will in metaphysics. So here we have a thought experiment by Pierre Simon Laplace. So Laplace was a great mathematician in the 18th century, and Laplace is famous for saying that if you were to give him the location of every particle in the universe, and you were to give him the basic laws of physics, he'd be able to chart out the future, right? The future course of the world. Because you just got to know where the location of all particles, the laws of physics that govern them, and then you'd know the future. And he said, give me a computer or a demon with a capacious enough of an intellect to calculate this, and we'd plot out the course of the future world. Now that's basically a statement against free will, right? Because there's no uncertainty at the material level. And Laplace's view was that our inability to figure this out was just a deficiency in epistemology. It's a deficiency in our ability to know these facts, right? Because our intellects aren't strong enough. But if we were to know all these present facts about the world, the future would be determined. Now, I just want to emphasize today, and this is what today's shiur is about, how strongly Judaism rejects that theory of determinism. Like how vociferously Judaism denies determinism, and how strongly it asserts the power of bechira, the power of human agency. So I want us to start with the psukim that we read in Parshas Nitzavim and Parshas Vayelech, the last couple of parshios. So the Torah tells us in Devarim Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos asher anochi mitzavcha hayom lo niflesi mimcha v'lo rechoka hi. So this mitzvah that you're being commanded, let's assume it's referring to the Torah generally, is it's not beyond you, so it's quite accessible. And then the Torah proceeds to say that it's karov elecha me'od b'ficha v'avcha lasoso. It's kind of at your discretion. You have the possibility of performing it. And then the Torah transitions to say, you're given these two different courses of action available to you. Rei nasati lefanecha hayom es hachayim v'es hatov, v'es hamaves, v'es hara. And similarly, a few psukim later, hachayim v'hamaves nasati lefanecha, life and death I have placed before you. Habracha v'aklala uvacharta v'chayim. You should choose life. And you'll see the Rambam makes a big deal of the fact that the Torah here communicates to us that we have this power of bechira, this power of choosing which option, which course we're going to adopt for ourselves. Uvacharta b'chayim. The Ramban commenting on that pasuk, Rei nasati lefanecha hayom, the Ramban writes, this is to teach Bnei Yisrael ki shnei hadrachim biyadam. Two paths are open to them, uvershusam leleches ba'asher yechbitzu ba. And it's at their rishus, it's at their discretion to decide which way they're going to go. Ve'ein moneya uma'ake biyadam, lo min ha'tachtonim v'lo min ha'elyonim. So yeah, wonderfully precise formulation of the Ramban, that there's no ikuv, there's no barrier, neither from above, neither from the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not determining what choice you're going to make, nor from below. There's nothing about particle physics or the material world that's going to determine which course of action you have to take. So the Torah here is communicating to you that the bechira is in your hands. The Mishnah in Avos talks about this. Harishus Nisuna, Parakimel Mishnah Tesvav. Small comment there in the Mishnah in Avos. But I want to focus on for today's shiur is really the Rambam's presentation in Hilchos Tshuva, beginning with Perek Hay. Now, let me say something about the Rambam here. In the heat of the Maimonidean controversy, does the Olam here know about the Maimonidean controversy? Yeah,
That when
there's
they
some.
made the school code.
No, Josh. The Maimonidean controversy about the philosophical writings of the Rambam and the Chachmei Tzarfas were opposed to some of the things that the Rambam wrote, and the Chachmei Provence were upset with aspects of Mor Nebuchadnezzar and Sefer Mada. So the Ramban goes to bat for the Rambam. And we have in the Kisvei HaRamban that Chevel published, you have a beautiful poem there where the Ramban defends the Rambam. And one of the examples that the Ramban gives of Sefer Mada contributing something really important to the canon of Halacha is the Rambam's codification of Hilchos Tshuva. The Ramban writes that if you look through all of Shas, you won't find a unified presentation of Hilchos Tshuva. Some of Hilchos Tshuva are in Maseches Sanhedrin. Some of Hilchos Tshuva are in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and some are in Maseches Tanis. So they're scattered Yama v'Tzafona v'Kedma v'Negba. They're all over the place in Shas. And the Ramban writes that the Gaonim never codified Hilchos Tshuva, but the Rambam's the first one to come along and to gather from all these areas and to create a cohesive Hilchos Tshuva. So it's like a major feat of the Rambam. The Ramban gives him credit for this. Now, if we look at Hilchos Tshuva, you'll notice that roughly half, a little less than half of Hilchos Tshuva, starting from Perek Hay onwards, certainly Perek Hay, Perek Vav, and Perek Vav are dedicated entirely to this, but you could also view Perek Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yud as following in this theme. What's the theme for about half of Hilchos Tshuva?
Free will, I'm guessing.
Yeah, genius leave. Excellent. The theme for about half of Hilchos Tshuva, certainly Perek Hey, Perek Vav, but probably also that's the transition to Zayin, Ches, etc., is about Bechira. That's at the heart of the concept of tshuva. So I want to unpack the centrality of Bechira to tshuva in today's discussion, and then to emphasize more broadly its connection to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Rambam Menuchot Tshuva Perek Halacha Aleph starts off Rishus L'chol Adam Nesuna. So agency, the capacity to choose, is given to each person. If a person wants to pursue the path of good and to be a tzaddik, harishus biyado. And similarly, if he wants to pursue a path of being a rasha, harishus biyado. Okay, so that's all meduyak in the psukim. And the Rambam says that a person could make these decisions for himself. Sheyehei hu me'atzmo uvedaita uvemachshavto yodea hatov v'hara. That's rational deliberation. You could deliberate to determine what's good and to know what's good and what's bad. Ve'oseh kol ma shehu chafetz ve'ein mi sheya'akeh biyado. So you could deliberate and act based on your deliberation without any imposition from without. Because that's the idea of bechira, agency. The Rambam just goes on to elaborate a little more. He quotes some psukim. Kol adam ro'eh lo lios tzadik k'moshe rabbeinu, or to be a rasha like Yeravam. All these are in your capability. No one is forcing you. Elohu me'atzmo u'midaito note le'eze derech sheyirtzeh. And he cites the pasuk in Eicha, mipi elyon lo seitzeh haros v'hatov. So these kind of like choosing good and choosing evil don't come from above, but they're choices that you make for yourself. So that's the Rambam's statement on Bechira, that we know this from the Psukim. And that Judaism, he believes, is committed to this possibility of agency. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva proceeds to argue, and I think this is uncontroversial, that Bechira is central to Judaism. We'll see that he uses this phrase that it's an ikker, because you can't have responsibility, you can't have moral responsibility or accountability without Bechira. That should sound intuitive to all of you. I'll give you an example. I mentioned this over Hashanah. 50,000 people died this year in an earthquake in Turkey. And nobody says that we should punish the earth for killing 50,000 people in this calendar year. It's just nature acting by its own laws. There's no moral accountability for something that has no Bechira. The planets follow their orbits, meteors smash into the planet Earth and kill people, but those are not acts of agency, and so we don't think that there's any sense of accountability for those events. But if a person were to kill 50,000 people or a military, we would see that's a heinous crime that deserves punishment. So there's something about human a moral accountability that presupposes agency. So the Rambam writes this in Perek Hey, Halacha Beis. He says Hashem doesn't decree that you should be good or bad. V'kivan shekein, and it follows from that. Therefore, nimtza zeh hachote hu hifsid es atzmo. The person who sinned, he caused himself to lose. He has nobody to blame but himself. There's a notion of blameworthiness for actions. And therefore, it follows roi lo livkos ulakonein al chatav. So that's why a person should is at fault. He should find himself at fault. He should find himself blameworthy, because whatever wrong he did under his own agency. And the Rambam proceeds to say, based off his reading of those psukim, that it's because you acted under your own bechira that therefore you are responsible to repair and do tshuva. So he cites the psukim in Eicha that he mentioned before, Mipi Elyon lo tzetzei haros v'atov, hoel v'rishusenu biyadenu umida'atenu asinu kol haros, roi lanu lachzor b'tshuva, v'lazov rishenu, sheharishus ata biyadenu. So you could see, in tshuva, we think of tshuva as having two dimensions. There's this retrospective dimension of taking responsibility for what you did, charata, vidui. So there's this looking backward sense of tshuva. So that's blaming yourself for making the wrong choices. But there's also a prospective dimension of tshuva, which is to kabbalah la'asid, repair it for the future. That too follows from bechira. Roi lanu lachzer b'tshuva v'lazov rishinu sheharishus ata b'yadenu. Now you have the agency to change, to set a new course for the future. You're kind of like, you're not locked in to the bad ways that you fell into previously. So you can see that the whole concept of tshuva here turns on this notion of agency. So your responsibility for your past actions is grounded in agency, but also the power to realign the course for the future is also grounded in this sense of agency. So Bechira is smack in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva. And the Rambam says that's Pshat in the Psukim, Mipi Elyon lo tzetzei haros v'hatov. Therefore, you should hold yourself to account. Ma yisonin adam chai geber al chata'av. Don't you have no one to blame for your sins except for yourself. And furthermore, because you have bechira, because mipi elyon lo tzetzei haros v'hatov, nach bisa dirachenu v'nach korah v'noshuva ad Hashem. Because that's part of your bechira also, is to repair and return. So Rambam goes on to elaborate on the centrality of tshuva, the centrality of bechira, after explaining how it connects to tshuva. He says, "Davar ze ikar gadol hu, v'hu amud haTorah v'hamitzvos." We've been talking in Shir about Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim as ikar gadol. The other place that Rambam uses this phrase of ikar gadol is with respect to bechira, but here it's the amud haTorah v'hamitzvah. And he quotes the psukim that we started with today, right? Nasati lefnecha yom asachayim. Kolomar harashus biyadchem. It's all the choice is yours to decide. And why is this an ikker? So the Rambam explains in Perakei Halacha Dalid. Because if Hashem were to predetermine how you're going to act, in other words, if you didn't have Bechira, it doesn't make sense to hold you morally responsible. And pretty much all of the Torah is telling us about our responsibility for our actions. If you do good, you'll be rewarded with this schar. If you do evil, you're going to suffer this punishment. None of that is coherent if you are not responsible and you are not acting under your own agency. So here the Rambam writes, "Uma makom." This is in Perakei Halacha Daled. "Uma makom haya lechola Torah kula, uveize din, uveize mishpat nifra min harasha umeshalim schar letzadik, hashofet kol haaretz lo yaseh mishpat." That's from Avraham's dialogue with Hashem over Sodom. So I'm saying that the whole Torah would be hashofet kol haaretz lo yaseh mishpat if we were held responsible for things that we didn't undertake with our own free agency. So, for the Torah to be coherent, the Rambam's saying there's got to be this notion of free will and Bechira. Now, I just want to point out the Rambam doesn't say this explicitly in his Ikarim in Perash and Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, but one of the Ikarim that he has in Sanhedrin is the 11th Ikar, which is that he's Meshalim Gmul Tov L'misha Mekayim Mitzvos HaTorah, Umanish Misha Over Al Hazoroseha. Schar Ve'onesh is one of the Ikarim. And we know that Schar Va'onesh presupposes Bechira, so it seems reasonable that Bechira is a core element of one of these Ikarim. Even though the Rambam doesn't flesh it out explicitly in the Ikarim in Perashat Mishnayos, in Hilchos Tshuva he tells us this is the Ikar Gadol and the Amud of the entire Torah and Mitzvah. By the way, in Yigdal, since we love looking at Yigdal to flesh out the Rambam's Ikarim. Ein yachid ki yichudo nelam v'gamein sof la'achdu. So, in Yigdal we have Gomel ish chesed kim mif'alo nosein l'rasha ra kirishaso, which is in accordance basically with your actions. In accordance with your wickedness, you're going to be punished. And in accordance with your deeds, you're going to be rewarded. Okay, so here you could see. I just wanted to give you another more explicit formulation of the idea of why we think that moral accountability depends on free will. I see Benji Katz's name written over here. Ah, there he is. So maybe Benji Katz remembers from his and we have Yoni Drazen today from the metaphysics days. The Peter Van Inwagen in his metaphysics textbook, which I thought I have here somewhere. Here's the quote. He says it's common opinion that free will is required by morality. The judgment that you shouldn't have done X implies that you should have done something else instead. And that you should have done something else instead implies that there was something for you to do. And that there was something else for you to do implies that you're able to do something else. And that you're able to do something else implies that you have free will. Kind of trying to thread the dots there, why we have this intuition that, moral accountability presupposes the idea that you had the capacity to choose. That's exactly what the Rambam's telling us, 800 years ago, that Schar Va'onesh implies Bechira. And then the Rambam concludes this section in Perek Hey. Halacha hey of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam writes, just summing it all up, Umepnei ze nemar b'nevuah shedonin es ha'adam al masav kifi masav im tov im ra, v'zehu ha'ikar shekol divrei ha'nevuah tluyim bo. Right, so after saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cause you to act one way or the other, v'al neida b'lo safik shemaisa adam b'yad ha'adam, v'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshcho v'lo gozer v'lasos kach, so agency, he says, we know this not just through Kabbalah's Hadas, but because Rayos Bruros Midivrei HaChachma. He says, and it's because of this, it's because of Bechira that the Nevi'im tell us that you're judged in accordance with your actions. And he called that's an Iker Shekol Divrei HaNevuah Tluyim Bo. Right? It's a major premise. That's the connection between Schar v'Onesh and Bechira. Okay. Everyone with me so far? Okay. Leave, you have a quick question before we proceed?
Yeah, just like trying making sure. So it seems like the Rambam and Van Inwagen, they're making more of like a utilitarian argument for free will here. Like the concept of moral responsibility hinges on it. They're not actually arguing for the like the material or metaphysical coherence of the concept itself, right?
Correct, correct. They're not trying to prove to you that there is free will. They're just saying if you think that there is moral accountability, then you're
Yeah.
committed to there being free will.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. So you could say like all the whole judicial system is wrong, right? Like all these courts that are throwing people in jail and holding them to account, like it's all just like one big farce. That could be true. Like they're all wrong. But insofar as you think like they're doing something morally correct in holding people to account and giving out punishment and holding people responsible, you're committed to some notion of a Bechira. Okay. And again, I just want to emphasize this is in Hilchos Teshuva. This is at the heart of the laws of repentance, because your accountability for past actions presupposes your agency, and similarly, your ability to repair and alter course for the future also depends on your having the Bechira to do that. So if it's true that Tshuva is at, so if it's true that Bechira is at the center of Hilchos Tshuva, and Hilchos Tshuva is at the center of the Yamim Noraim, then it's also the case that really Bechira is at the heart of the Yamim Noraim. Because that's a, you know, you stand as Yom Hadin, a day of judgment. It's judgment for your Bechira, responsibility for your Bechira. And also what we talk about, like setting course for the year ahead, that too is an act of agency. So you might even say, and this is something that we could develop further at a different point, that you know, if Sukkos and Pesach are really Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, they reinforce of like the ikur of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You might say that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are reinforcing the ikur of Bechira and Schar V'Onesh that comes along with it. If you think of the different Yomim Tovim as being built around some sort of main principle, some sort of ikur of Yiddishkeit. Now, let me say a little more here about this idea of Bechira. The Rambam Hilchos Teshuva, Perakei Halacha Daled, points out that you might think that agency, Bechira, is inconsistent with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence, his all-powerfulness. So, for example, the Rambam writes, Perakei Halacha Daled, what do you mean? How could we say, Heich yiyeh ha'adam oseh kol ma sheyachpotz, v'yiyeh ma'aseiv mesurim lo? How could a person have like this wide discretion and choice about what he wants to do? Isn't everything really hakol bidei shamayim? Don't we really say that everything is in God's hands? V'chi yaseh ba'olam davar shelo b'rishus kono, v'lo cheftzo? Could you really do something that's contrary to God's will? Does any of you have this intuition? After all, the Torah says, "Kol asher chafetz Hashem asa b'shamayim va'aretz." Ultimately, it's Hashem's will that prevails, right? We say, "Yiskadav yiskada shmei rabba bi'olma dibra chiruse," right? The world that Hashem created with His will. So, "Kol asher chafetz Hashem asa b'shamayim va'aretz." It's His will that prevails. How could you say that it's the will of Bnei Adam that are free? So Rambam gives a nice mashal here. But I just want to point out that I think the Rambam here is anticipating some tension between Bechira and omnipotence, right? Everything being at the will of Hashem. So Rambam says, don't worry about it. Dasha, kol kecheftzo yaseh. Everything really is in accordance with Hashem's will, even though we have agency. And the Rambam just says very nicely, just like Hashem wants fire and wind to rise, you have these like physical or natural properties, and for the water to be pulled down through gravity, Kacha chafetz lios ha'adam reshusa biyado. It's Hashem's will that a person should have agency. That's all. Do you see the Rambam's resolution? He's saying, yeah, everything is within Hashem's will, but it's Hashem's will that people should have absolute bechira. Okay. He says here, it's Hashem's will. Kacha chafet lias adam reshusa biyada v'chol masa of mesurin lo v'lo ye lo kofe v'lo moshech elohu me'atzmo v'daito she'nasan lo ha'el ose kol she'adam yachal lasos. And that's why a person is held to account, etc., etc. But really, it's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that people should have free will of their own. And this brings us to the incisive observation of Rav Meir Simcha, Meshech Chachma, that, Bechira, the power to make these decisions, is a really deep metaphysical property of human beings. That we were created with this power to choose. And you could see in the Rambam's formulation, like it's like almost a tzimtzum, he's going to say, of the powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So look what he writes. Hatzal Maloki hu ha-bechira ha-chafshis b'li teva machriach, rak me'ratzon v'seichel chafshi. When we say nasa adam b'tzalmenu, what is the tzal malokim that a person has? It's the capacity to choose without teva machriach, without being compelled by nature to choose. And then he says, and I think here he's influenced by the Rambam here, Shela ha-bechira ha-chafshis hu mitzimtzum ha-elokus. She'Hashem Yisbarach maniach makom lebruav lasos kifi masha yivcharu. So it's almost, it was a tzimtzum of divine omnipotence that Hashem, before he created man, Hashem controlled literally whatever he wanted in the universe. But after he created people with Bechira Chafshis, he gave them some power, divine power of their own, that limited Hashem's powers, that now the world is partially determined by our Bechira. Does everybody see that? So it's like we as human beings on this theory, on the theory of the Meshech Chachma, the spark of divinity that we have in our neshamos is that in contrast to other things in the material world, where the material facts about the world determine how they act, so you might say like the neurons that fire in the brains of the animal kingdom, those will determine what the animal mind thinks. In human beings, it's different. It's like the choices that we make in our minds, those determine how the neurons are going to fire in the brain. Right? So there's like some power of Bechira that's going to determine facts about the physical world and not the facts of the physical world that are going to determine how we exercise our agency. And that's almost like a koach elokus. That's almost like a quasi-divine power that we have that constitutes the tzelem elokim that we were created in. And that's also a limitation on the koach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in the world. As the Rambam reminds us, it's not inconsistent with his chefetz, kol asher chafetz asa, but this is chefetz, that this world should play out in accordance with human decision-making. Yoni, Chasan Domel Melech, how could we not take Yoni's hand? Go for it, Yoni.
Yeah. So does this mean that Bechira is almost all or nothing? That like HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Tzimtzum gave humans Bechira? And what does that say about A, animals? Like, so no animals have any sense of Bechira at all? And also B, what does that say about like people with severe disabilities and other things where seemingly they don't have like exactly the same level of Bechira as a healthy, normal person.
Yeah, it's a really hard question to know how to answer. We'll have to do a separate shiur on that. So there's a lot to
And
talk
then do
about.
you
Both.
think the Meshech Chachma is saying that it's an all or nothing type of thing?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think it's okay for there to be like degrees of Tzelem Elokim and degrees of Bechira. Like, I think that's okay. We'd have to think more about like the animal kingdom is a very interesting question in general in halacha. And disabilities is also a really, really important question. So I'd say like those are really important things to address, but we'll bracket them for today's year. But I'll give you a promissory note that we'll come back to them. Okay. Romy, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, isn't the problem usually not, it's not just like what does Hashem want? It's that if Hashem is outside of time, therefore, and he knows everything that will happen, then that is the problem.
Well,
Like,
hold
isn't
off
that
on
more of a
Yediyah. We'll
problem?
get to we're gonna I'm gonna say something about Yediyah in a second. Right now, I only said something about the Rambam, about his chefetz, about his
So
will
none
and
of this
his
is,
power.
you're not assuming any of this has any bearing on, or is trying to address that problem.
Correct, correct. This is about omnipotence, power, not about Yediyah yet. I'm gonna get to the Yediyah point in 1 second. That's gonna be the next piece in this year. Leave, you have a hand?
I had a hand. I don't know. I'm just not. I'm not. Who or what? Like, is this thing that kind of exists outside of the causal chain? Like, where is it? Like, what is it? Like, basically, if we're saying right, every choice I make kind of stems from the mind. Who is this thing crafting the mind? What, like, the mind crafting itself? Like, the whole thing becomes a little incoherent if you look down some sort of causal chain. I'm just not really understanding. I don't really understand like the mind cause the choice causing the neurons to fire type thing. Like, where is that taking place? Like, what's the bottom source of all this? There has to be some sort of bottom source. There's nothing that exists non-causally. I don't know. Maybe I'm not asking the question so clearly because I don't really find the concept so clear.
Yeah, you're definitely not asking the question clearly. Give you that. Definitely right about that. But here's the muscle, right? Lots of people, you could think of a deterministic universe as just like billiard balls hitting billiard balls, right? It's all just like caused by physical causation and all determined by the previous impact, right? But you could imagine, let's say, like Hashem could always like intervene, right? And like change, he can make the billiard balls move differently, however he wants, correct? Right? Surely that's not a proposition that's controversial to endorse in Englewood.
Not controversial.
Okay. So Hashem could, of course, intervene. Now, if you have this kind of Tzelem Elokim, that's a similar power, just like as Hashem could intervene on the physical world, you're given this, like, whether it's a divine power, you want to just call it a metaphysical power, to also affect change, like over the material universe. Right? That's the mashal, and that's why I think it's really nice that the Meshech Chachma is conceptualizing it as a feature of Tzelem Elokim.
Yeah, okay. I guess maybe what I'm getting at then is like what am I basically like, how do I conceive of my right? Meshech Chachma is basically conceiving of ourselves as something that could exist almost above like God, and then we like get in the material world and knock around the billiard balls. Like, where does this conception of like some self that exists
That's not
outside
material.
of this range? Yeah, like where saying where is that, like what, like it doesn't exist in space. Even I'm saying
So
even the mind, right? Like
Benji
I didn't,
Katz and Yoni will tell you that you have to take the metaphysics course first. Right? You got to learn about dualism, and you got to learn about whether it's the physical that determines the mental or the mental determines the physical. It's really complicated stuff, but so you have plenty of time in YU. Don't worry, we'll offer the metaphysics course before you graduate, hopefully. And worst comes to worst, you could always stay 4 years like Benji did and Yisurim Mar-Machaper.
My
That's
feet are
kind of
very
your future.
far away from me.
Okay, did I freeze or you guys could still hear me? Okay, good. Okay, so let me move forward here. So yes, we have Bechira. We have Bechira as connected to Tzelem Elokim, the nature of the human being. We have Bechira as the Iker Gadol, which the Nevuos of the Torah depend on, according to the Rambam. And we have Bechira at the very heart of Tshuva, right? The idea of accountability and Kabbalah al-Asid, charting course for the future, right? Looking forward about how you're gonna set course for the year ahead. The last section of this year, I want to tie these themes together, or some of these themes together, by looking at the alleged contradiction that the Rishonim perceive between Bechira and Hashem's foreknowledge of the world. So our capacity to choose and Hashem's knowledge of the future. So the Rambam and many other Rishonim assume that there's some sort of contradiction. Here's the Rambam in Perek HaHalacha Hey, after he entertains the alleged contradiction between Hashem's koach, his chefetz, and Bechira, the Rambam says, Shema Tomar, V'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea kol ma sheyia bekodem sheyia yada zeh. Shezei yetzadik arasho olo yada. Im yada, shehu yetzadik, yefshar shlo yetzadik. V'im tomar sheyada sheyetzadik, yefshar shiyah rasho, harei lo yada davar aburyav. So Rambam says, look, don't you want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything in advance? And if Hashem knows everything in advance, then either you're compelled to do it, or you're not, in which case Hashem's knowledge might turn out to be false, in which case he didn't have genuine knowledge. So the idea is that you're kind of caught in a pickle between Hashem's foreknowledge and Bechiras Adam. I'm sure everyone's familiar with this Rambam. And the Rambam says, don't worry about it. Lo machshavos seichem. There's some resolution, but the Rambam, he teases us with a resolution, but he doesn't give us any substantive way of resolving it. Is everybody familiar with this issue? Okay, so I want to address this for a second. Let's take Ned's hands, and we'll look at what some Rishonim say. Ned?
Yeah, I think you can collapse this into the omnipotence problem. Omnipotence implies omniscience.
Maybe you can. The Rambam here has them separate as separate ideas. He formulates that he has the chefetz, kol asher chafetz asa objection, and then he has this yediyah objection. Okay.
I'm saying, yeah, but I think you can't have omnipotence without omniscience.
Maybe, I'm not sure. Most Rishonim think that they're separate. They think that Hashem could might know all these things, but not have the power to intervene in these things.
No, that's the reverse. But the other way is you can't have the power to intervene without knowing.
Oh, so you're saying if he has omnipotence, then he must have omniscience?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. But you might say that he has like present omnipotence, not future omnipotence. So he has like the present power to make any change, but not the. He doesn't have the present power to make future changes. It's a very interesting question. We could try to get more precise on this concept, but I hear the suggestion. I'm gonna take Mikey's hand in a minute. Let me just make the following point. The Rambam basically wants to preserve the intuition that Hashem knows the future. He doesn't tell us exactly how he wants to resolve them, but he wants to preserve that intuition. The Ravid, in being masig on the Rambam here, says something funny. It's not totally clear what he means. But he says that Hashem has this strange way or this other way of knowing the future. He says, Im hayu tzidkas, this is the Ravid here in Hilchos Tshuva. Im hayu tzidkas Adam v'rishaso tliyim b'gzeras habore yisbarach, hayinu omrim sheyidiyaso, hi gzeraso. If Hashem, if we didn't have Bechira, then we'd say that Hashem's knowledge causes us to do things. And this would be very difficult, he says. And we wouldn't have Bechira. But he said, but that's okay, because Hashem was Mesir Zu HaMemshala. V'achshav Shehabore Hisir Zu HaMemshala Biyado U'masor Biyad HaAdam Atzmo. This is almost like Meshech HaChachma language. Like Hashem took a power that he had and delegated it to humans directly. Right? It's almost like he gave something that he was holding those reins and then he authorized us to hold those reins. That's just very powerful language. And then he said, therefore, Ein Yediyaso Gzeira. Aval hi ki yedias ha'itz dagninim, sheyodim mikoach acher ma yi adrachav shel zeh. So this is a very interesting metaphor he gives. It's like knowledge of the astronomers. Now, I'm just going to take this in a very deflationary way, which I like, and you'll see why I take it this way. One interpretation of this, arguably the way the Rivash interprets this, which we'll see in a second, is that just like I, as an astronomer, could know where the moon will be tonight, because I know the general habits of the moon. So too, Hashem knows basically the future because he knows the laws of human conduct. That's what the Ravid says. It's not clear what that means, so hold off on exactly what it means in a second. We're going to see a metaphor for it in a second. But the idea is that he doesn't like know the future directly. He knows this in the way that the astronomers know the movements of the planets. Okay? Based off like their knowledge of how they normally behave. Okay, so we're going to drop the Ravid for a second, but we're going to come back to it. I want to bring to your attention the view of two Rishonim, the Ralbag and the Ravid HaRishon. The Ravid we just said is the Ravid HaShlishi, but the Ravid HaRishon is Ravram Ibn Daud, and the Ralbag is Rabbi Ibn Gershon. The Ralbag lived in Provence in the 1300s. He dies in 1344. I'm sure everyone's familiar with the Ralbag al Torah, a really great sefer. And he wrote the Mochamos Hashem as a philosophical work. And then the Ravid HaRishon is Avram ibn Daud, Avram ben David, who was born in Cordoba in the beginning of the 1100s. And he died, I think, in Toledo somewhere towards the end of the 1100s. But he's like about a generation earlier than the Rambam, about 20 years older than the Rambam, the Ravid HaRishon. Okay, so the Ralbag famously, in a few places in his Mochamos Hashem, here's a quote in English, he holds that Hashem doesn't have knowledge of the future, at least not direct knowledge of the future. Here's a quote from the Mochamos Hashem that's translated into English. He says, with respect to future things, he says, it's evident that the sense in which God knows these particulars is the sense in which they're ordered and determined. For from this aspect, it is possible to have knowledge of them. On the other hand, the sense in which God does not know particulars is the sense in which they are not ordered, i.e., the sense in which they are contingent. So he's saying there are some things that are genuinely contingent. So, like whether or not you will come to Shir tomorrow, Tani, is genuinely contingent, right? There's really no fact of the matter because Tani has full bechira about whether he's going to come, right? And like and Hashem doesn't know whether Tani is going to come to Shir tomorrow because it's genuinely contingent. It all depends on Tani's bechira. And in that sense, knowledge of them is not possible. Like it's not possible to have knowledge of something that's genuinely contingent. However, God does know from this aspect that these events may not occur because of the choice which he has given to man. He does not know which of the contradictory outcomes will be realized insofar as they are genuinely contingent affairs. So the thought is that Hashem knows that Tani may or may not decide to come to Shir tomorrow. And he knows like those two options, but he doesn't know which one of them will come true until it comes true. Okay, so there's a sense in which Hashem knows the future. I'll give you a mashal that I think is very helpful. In the same way that a chess grandmaster knows the different options of moves. Like if you open this way, like you go with the Sicily, you start with the Italian opening, then I could respond with the Sicilian defense. Right? Like there are all these different possibilities that Hashem knows. He even has it all, let's say, mapped out. In God's mind. But which of those courses of actions will be actualized is something that Hashem does not yet have idea of, because it's genuinely not decided yet. And as the Ralbag points out, if Hashem were to have knowledge about which chess move or whether Tani would come to Shir, there would not be any contingency at all. There's a sense in which it's already decided. Now, here's the key move. A lot of people think that this somehow limits Hashem's yediyah. They think it's not roi to say, and this is the intuition. We all have this intuition that Hashem knows the future, because we think it's not appropriate. It inappropriately delimits HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge of the world. That's the intuition why people don't like this. This we will see. The Rivash says this about the Ralbag's theory, but I think the Ralbag is right with the following response. The fact that God does not have knowledge of which possible outcome will be realized does not imply any defect. For perfect knowledge of something is the knowledge of that thing, of what that thing is in reality. What does it mean to know something? Well, to know something is to know the facts as they are, right? Correct? But if there's nothing to know, then to have knowledge of it is just to know whatever there is to know about it. So, what is there to know about Tani's choice about Shir tomorrow? Well, only that he has the choice. That's all there is to know about the future choice. Of course, about Tani's choice to come to Shir today, that there's knowledge to be had. But just like there's no knowledge to be had about a round circle, sorry, about a round square. Or a squared circle, right? There's nothing really to know about that insofar as it's incoherent. There really is no knowledge to be had about the future insofar as it's still totally contingent. So that's what he means. Knowledge of something is knowledge of what that thing is in reality. When the thing is not apprehended as it is, this is error, not knowledge. So if Hashem were to know, if Hashem were to have some sort of idea of Tani, let's say, missing Shir tomorrow, that'd be erroneous knowledge. Because the thing to know, the fact, is actually that he has a choice about coming. So anything that's subject to Bechira in the future cannot be subject to Yediyah insofar as it's genuinely indeterminate as of now. Does everybody see that? And to have Yediyah about it would to have erroneous knowledge. Hence, the view is God knows these things in the best possible manner. Right? Like he knows whatever there is to know about them. Okay. The Ravid Arishon says something similar in his Sefer Emuna Rama in Chelek Beis Iker Vav Parak Beis. Here's a translation from a Reb Bleich's book where he discusses the with perfect faith, where he discusses the Ikarim of the Rambam. I'll just give you a quote from the Ravid. He says, you know, Hashem created things with genuine bechira. He knows that things have bechira, but he doesn't know which path they choose. And he says, if a sophist would be sophistical and say, is God ignorant of the end of the matter? We would say in response that this is not ignorance. The point being that it's not to know that there's bechira is to have yediyah. Isn't that a great response? Okay, now I know what all you're thinking. You're all thinking, and this is usually the objection to this view, and this is the final point I want to make and share, but it's going to take me 5 minutes or so to make it. You know, why not say that Hashem? Here's the Rivash, by the way, in Siman Mem Hey, where he's very upset with the Ralbag, and again the Rivash in Siman Kuf Yud Ches in his Tshuvas, where he's upset with the Ralbag. But the Shoel in this Rivash thinks the Ravid and the Hasagos that I read you, that Hashem knows the future like the astronomers know the movements of the planet, thinks that the Ravid and the Hasagos and the Rambam is giving the same view as the Ralbag. That Hashem kind of knows like the projected orbit of the planets, but not like he does, it's not that he's actually seeing the future right now. You can see that's all fleshed out over here. And here the Rivash talks about how he thinks this might be a deficiency in Hashem's knowledge. He's not so thrilled with the Ralbag or the Ravid. But why not say that Hashem could always just like fast forward to the future, right? So it's commonly said, well, Hashem's above time. And if he's above time, why can't he just like fast forward the tape to see what happens in the future of the world? Do you ever hear this objection? Yes? Give me the thumbs up if you heard this objection. Right? Okay. So why not just say that? So I think the answer is, and here's the kind of the deep philosophical point that I think is relevant for the Yamanarayim, is that you have to appreciate the concept of time is not something that exists outside of this world. But the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim in Beis Yud Gimel that Hashem created this world from an Efes HaMuchlat, from what he calls here Ha Ha'eder HaGamor. There's like absolute nothing from which he created it. And the Rambam says part of this is that Shehazman Atzmo Gamkein Michlal HaNivrayim, that time is really just a created feature of this world. It's not a feature of like the metaphysics of the universe prior to creation. So with that, so you could think, for example, like maybe the concept of space is a bria for this world, right? Just for this universe that we inhabit. So too, the concept of time was created for just this world that we inhabit. Now here's the chakira. How much time was created for this universe? 6,000 years, 6 million years, 10 billion years. How much time was created for this universe? That a meaningful question? So I want to say the following, that by the way, I want to say one more thing in this Rambam before I tell you the pshat. The Rambam writes here, don't think that Hashem is in time in any way. Lo tia hamtsa sabore la'olam bahaschalas zmanis. Ki hazman michlal hanivrayim. Don't even start thinking about Hashem being like pre-time or at time is just like a feature of this universe, right? And then he says, by the way, hazman mikre, time is like an accident. It needs something to reside in, like whatever he means. And he says, the Yischayev Mitzius, Davar Kodem, Mitzius Zeha Olam. If time preceded the creation of this world, it would imply that there was something other than God that preexisted this world. He says that's impossible because this world is created from Yesh Me'ayin. Fine. He says, this is Yisod Toras Moshe Rabbeinu B'li Safek. V'hushenis li Yisod HaYichud. Second only to Yisod HaYichud, by the way. So shout out to Shir. Okay. And he says this is part of what Avraham Avinu taught that, you know, that there was nothing, you know, that's kind of like we saw in the Cholbus HaVavos, that the oneness of Hashem means that there was really nothing coexistent with him before creation. That's like part of Yichud Hashem. And so there's no Zman before creation. So I want to say the following for the Ralbag and those Rishonim. Maybe it's the case that the way the world was created with time is that there's a major difference between the past and the present on the one hand and the future on the other hand. You could have this intuition that the whole future was created, that enough time for the present, past, and future was created. That's how much time was created. So, like if you want to be like the Mekubalim and say it's 6,000 years, so 6,000 years were created, and now it's 5,784, and we have a couple hundred years to go, and that's the end of time. But on that view, the future is created, the time for the future is created just like the past. But I think what you would say for the Ravid and for the Ralbag is that the past is created, the present is in existence, but the future, there's no bria of Zman yet for the future. Okay, in metaphysics, this theory of time is called the growing blocks theory of time. That it's basically, if you think of it as a mashal, like you could look backwards and see the whole history of the universe behind you. That's all in existence. But if you look forward, there's like mamish nothing there. Like we're standing in the presence. You're looking out into like a great abyss of nothingness. And Hashem's creating little slices of time as we go to create the present. So like time is like expanding as we go. A little more time is being added to temporal facts of the universe called the growing blocks theory. Here's a little quote from Wikipedia about the growing blocks theory of time. So the theory accepts the reality of the present and the past, but holds that the future is simply nothing at all. Nothing has happened to the present by becoming past, except that fresh slices of existence have been added to the total history of the world. So the sum of total existence is always increasing. So the thought is, like, even when you say there's an intuition, when you say Hashem is outside of time, you have this intuition that he could just look at this universe and like fast forward to the future and reverse to the past, kind of like just like he could peek in at like South Africa or peek in at Asia or peek in North America, just like spatially he could peek in wherever he wants. You have this intuition that he could peek in temporally wherever he wants, as if the whole temporal universe is laid out before him and each temporal slice is accessible. But I think the Ralbag and the Ravid will say that there is no future that's accessible yet. Like, given the nature of this universe, like the time that's a feature of it, the past is there, the present is there, but the future is really, as of yet, unwritten. And I'll say a little more of a chiddush. I think this is Pashut Pshat in what we say. Another shout out to Shir in our Nosach HaTfilah, that he's betuvo mechadesh b'chol yom tam in ma'aseh bereishis. That every day there's like a hischadshus of the ma'aseh bereishis, and that new little slices of time are being added to the to keep the universe going, to expand the bria into the future. Maybe you could read other parts of the Birchas Kriyas Shema into this. So I think that would explain why there's no ability to fast forward and just look into the future, because there's nothing there, and how the future is going to be written, that's going to be a function of how humans act. That's partially determined by the bechira of people. So there's no such thing as saying like, oh, the future, it's there, and we just have to fast forward and look at it. But like, no, it's like totally blank. Maybe there are a few things that are fixed, but there's nothing to look into as of now. Does that make sense as a theory? Does everybody get the picture? Whether you agree with it or not, it's a pretty intriguing picture, right? So I think also here you could understand, and this will I want to conclude. Like, you could even think of Rosh Hashanah, like it's the day like where we speak about Yom HaDin, a moral accountability, and Bechira, and the centrality for Hilchos Teshuva. But we also speak of it as like a day, Rosh Hashanah up until Yom Kippur, as like a type of Hayom Haras Olam, like the day of like the creation of the world and determining what the future is going to look like. And I think that's like a remarkable testament to the koach of Bechira, which we could view even as like a koach elokus, like a tzelem elokim, as the Meshech Chachma says, that we're not just like pawns in a chess game that are used to fill certain roles, like in the way the world is going to turn out. It's not like we have these like predetermined roles or a script that we're going to fall into, but adrabba, like it's our koach to write what the future of the universe is going to be. And that's like the whole notion of bechira and tzelem elokim that's at the very heart of the concept of tshuva. All right, shkoyach guys. Everybody should take it to heart. Vashevosa elavavecha, about the importance of making the right decisions. Tani should come to Shir next year. It's part of Uvacharta Vachayim. And that when we get ready for Yom Kippur and we think about Aseres Yemei Teshuva, to think about how we're going to set the course and determine the outline of the new slices of time that are going to be added to the year ahead of us. All right, I'm happy to stay on if guys have questions or comments here. But everyone should feel free to go and daven mincha if they have to.